Oh yeah, here we go. You know what time it is, Rob?
Blog Talk Radio.
Time to make it do what it do, sports talk, worldwide.
All right, let's get this party started, Rob. You ready?
Come on, man. Crank it up. Let's roll.
Oh, it takes like a minute to kick in our air again. There we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Let's get this. There it is. It's kicking in. All right, of course, fucking with I'm waiting, Rob. There it is.
The DJ, man. What's
all
going on?
Oh. Okay, okay, okay. Ah! Oh.
I like that.
The song is a
hey, I'm trying to do that.
Rob?
Oh, yeah, you guys be careful on the road jamming to that beat right there.
Welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with 12th Man. Man, that's always good. You know, it's weird, Rob. Sometimes it takes a while to kick in and over, like, hitting buttons because it still likes our old thing, so I got to, like, wait for it to kind of jump into the thing. But that's okay. It's all good. Today is, of course, Tuesday, February the 26th. I want to welcome everyone in Radio Land, listening to us on the internet, all that fun stuff, even those that are listening to some archives. You are now talking sports with 12th Man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by Mr. Robert Ford. He's the real Robert Ford, not a figment of our imagination. He's for real. So, as always, I want to fill in and just want to welcome you guys into the show. And without further ado, I just want to check in with my co-host and see how you are doing this evening, Rob. So how are you doing, sir?
Man, doing great, man. You know, had a great workout in. I'm a little sore, shoulders, back, a little aching right now, but I'll be all right. Got a little Creole corn in tonight. Got a good meal. I'm ready to talk some sports now, bro. We got a big upset just happened in college basketball. Tennessee just beat Florida 64-58.
Wow. That's what it's all about, man. Like, I'm going to be very excited about March Madness, too, man. So we got a lot of things to talk about that, too, coming up, too. But as always, we are going to throw out some numbers for you who want to call into the show. We have a lot of feedback. We want to thank you for all of that as well. But for those who want to call into the show, the number to call in, it's toll-free at 424-243-9519. You can also follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is the number 12, T-H-M-A-N, 12th Man Sports. And we are also on Facebook, which is facebook.com/12thmansports as well. So we got a lot of things to talk about, Rob, and obviously we're going to jump into the things that's going on this weekend, which is the NFL Combine. Got a lot of NFL talk to discuss, and, you know, obviously this is a very interesting topic because it looks like Manti Te'o is actually taking over for Tebow, getting the most headlines, and I know everyone's sick of talking about it, but of course we are kind of tuning into the pulse of what's going on with the sports world, so we got to talk about some things that are going on with Te'o, not only where he's going to be drafted, but also in the interviewing process. And a lot of things have been coming out as far as his orientation, be it sexually. And I guess the question is, we're asking a lot of our listeners, is it okay for teams to kind of ask Te'o if he's gay? And I'm going to kind of a little bit open that up to you, sir. What do you think about this, and is it controversial or what?
Well, you know, when putting together our show topics for this show, this was the one that I tossed and turned on whether or not we should talk about over the air. You know, it is pretty controversial. But I figure, you know, we probably should go ahead and address it. It's being talked about. Several teams at the NFL Combine are very curious if Manti Te'o is gay. And I'm just going to give some feedback from one of our listeners, a good friend of the show, Wayne DeGrange, also a Saints insider. And, you know, he sent some feedback saying that he doesn't believe NFL teams should ask if he's gay or not. And I'm going to partially agree and disagree with him. And I guess mostly, and I'm going to say in most workplaces, I don't think this would be fair. I don't think you should worry about if somebody is straight or gay in most working environments. So most working environments, I don't think is important. But I think in this particular environment, in a locker room full of men, I don't see a problem with NFL teams asking if he's gay or not. And the reason being is, you know, you shower in these type of situations, you know, and at times, of course, you know, these are all men in the locker room, in some cases in the nude and things of that nature. And so I don't see a problem in this particular industry. Now, like I said, 98-99% of working environments, I don't think it's fair or important to ask if someone is gay or not. I think it doesn't matter. But like I said, this is an environment where you are working around other men, you're changing clothes around other men, you're showering around other men. And so I think organizations have to protect themselves in this type of situation from something happening, you know, from lawsuits and things of that nature. So in this particular environment, I don't see a problem with NFL teams asking if he's gay or not. That's just my take. I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me, and that's okay. You know, I think we're all entitled to our opinions. But that's just the way I feel about this, you know, in an environment where you're around, you know, nothing but all men. Dr. Dre, you there?
Uh-oh. Rob?
Yeah. Did you lose me?
Okay, cool. Yeah, go ahead. Keep going. I'm sorry.
Okay. Did you get all my feedback?
Yeah, I got the feedback. You're good. Keep going.
Okay, I was done. I was waiting on your response.
I was like, like I said, I think that I'm going to go a different route with this. And I think a lot of times than ever, a lot of NFL teams that they were asking because they were kind of curious as far as what was going on with Tail? Because number one, the biggest question that you had was, you know, if the whole thing was a hoax, it was a hoax, whatever. And I think they really wanted to figure out if number one, if you didn't like women, you know, okay, that's okay. Because if you're gay, then hey, that's okay. But they were just kind of figure out kind of what's going on with, you know, why did this whole thing kind of go the way that it did? Because certain things are not adding up, and I think that's kind of why they were asking the question, like, hey, look me straight in the eye. Tell us if this is the case, because a lot of things didn't make sense as far as the way, you know, everyone said you could have been the big man on campus, and if you were such a star athlete, you would have thought, that you would have had a girlfriend that was on campus. So, you know, there's a lot of these different things that just didn't add up. You know, obviously, whenever the way that the story came out, and he probably didn't handle it the best way, obviously. So I think that's kind of why they're asking, hey, you know, it's okay if you tell us, is because your actions didn't really make sense. So, you know, like I said, I like the comment that you were talking about as far as if you were in a corporate environment, you know, maybe it wouldn't be a problem, and that's kind of where it wouldn't be okay to ask this question. But as mentioned, since you are in a locker room, it's a different environment with men, you know, you're showering together, all that stuff, you know, all that fun stuff like that, you know, I think it is kind of fair to ask that in that instance. But as mentioned, and I heard a lot of feedback about this, and that I don't think it's the first time, and I do think there are players that are already gay in the NFL, they just haven't come out and say that. So,
absolutely.
I mean,
there's no question about
naive.
That.
We'd be naive if we didn't think that's actually already going on, but maybe no one has come out and said that openly too. So, you know, this is a situation where it's very sensitive and it's very controversial, but I do think there's kind of ways you can kind of go on both sides. So,
absolutely.
Know, I don't know.
And I think there are several players entering the NFL, would, if they are gay, they would try to hide it because, this, even though it's maybe unfair, I do think if players are openly gay, it would definitely hurt their draft status. So I do think that players, a lot of times what you see here, you see players come out and admit that they're gay after they retire, and they'll go through their entire NFL careers without saying a word, just because they don't want it to hurt their draft stock. But in this particular situation, a lot of NFL general managers are very curious. And like I said, in most work environments, I think it will be unfair to ask this question. In this environment, I think it's fair, just my opinion.
Gotcha. We're going to talk about a lot of the things as far as where he's drafted and some combine stuff. But we have some other news that have been going on in the NFL, and obviously a lot of movement
for players. And first and foremost, we're going to talk about the Rams and Steven Jackson. He actually decided to opt out of his contract and is now a free agent. So a couple of questions that we have out for our listeners is, where do you think he's going to land? And obviously, if you heard his comments, he basically said he wants to play for a contender. I guess he's tired of playing for a losing situation, losing franchise. So it opens up a lot of different opportunities, Rob. So I'm going to open up the floor to you. Where do you think he's going to go in this instance, sir?
Well, I tell you what. I mean, as much as I may hate to say this, but I actually think your Falcons are definitely going to be in contention for his services. And once again, a friend of our program here, Wayne DeGrange, giving us his opinion as well, and he kind of agreed that he believed that the Falcons would definitely be a team at the forefront. I think any day now, expect to see the Falcons releasing Michael Turner, definitely before the new league year starts, which I believe is the 12th of March or the 15th of March. So expect that to come down here really soon. And you'll look for a team like the Falcons to be near the top for his services. And I would have to say that they will probably be the favorite for his services at the current time. And so stay tuned for that. And you being a Falcon fan, I don't know if you want to give some 2 cents to that as well.
You know, it's pretty interesting, Rob. And I'm going to throw this to you, too, because believe it or not, here in Atlanta, a lot of people don't like this move. They don't think that Steve Jackson is a good pickup. And the reason why, they figure out that he's about to turn 30 whenever the season starts. And they kind of think that we're replacing one old back with another old back. So I guess I'd love to hear your thoughts about this, because I'm on the other opinion. I think it's a great move. You know, I think he's a guy that he's a bigger guy. You know, maybe he doesn't have the same burst like he had whenever he first came in the league, but, you know, he's not going to be a 25-carry guy anymore, because we have more of a passing team right about now. But, you know, I think it's a great move. People here want Reggie Bush, and that's just kind of ironic how you guys usually had Reggie Bush and whatnot. But that's kind of the word on the street here in the ACL. So what do you think about Steven Jackson? You still think he has enough in the tank?
I think he does, but I think the key with Steven Jackson, the difference between Steven Jackson and Michael Turner, Steven Jackson is a great he's a great catcher out of the backfield, where Michael Turner is not the same kind of player as far as catching the football, catching the football out of the backfield. Steven Jackson has great hands, and he's a big back that can stay on the field even on third downs and catch the football. I think that's the difference with he and Michael Turner. Steven Jackson is a little bit more injury prone than Michael Turner, but when he's healthy and when he's on the field, he can do a little bit more than Michael Turner can. So I think if you're a Falcon fan, I think you would prefer, but Steven Jackson, I think, would be a better addition than Reggie Bush. And I think the thing you got to realize with Reggie Bush, he's a similar player to a Jacquez Rodgers that's already on your roster. So I can't see the Falcons going with a Reggie Bush and getting a similar player that you already have on your roster. I can definitely see them going a Steven Jackson route. I'm sure there are going to be some other teams in contention for both Bush and Jackson. But based on what we're hearing, the Falcons are definitely going to be in the mix for Steven Jackson. I don't think they're going to be in the mix for Reggie Bush.
Got it. And another destination, too, that we keep hearing about is possibly Green Bay, too. So we'll keep an eye on that, too, because I know Green Bay definitely has a need for a running back. So there's two opportunities for him if he wants to go to a winner. But, you know, as mentioned, I don't know why everyone doesn't like the move, man. I think they're upset with giving away that much money to a Steven Jackson. Maybe he wants a little bit more, and they think maybe a younger running back can come in and kind of do just the same thing he's doing, too. So that's kind of the word on the street here in the ACL, if you will. Real quick, Rob, I'm going to throw out the numbers real quick, and we'll jump to the next topic. Once again, call on the show. Give us your feedback. The number to call is 424-243-9519, as always. And let's talk about some other news with Mr. Tom Brady, All World. He decides to he agrees to a new deal, which kind of makes it very cap-friendly for the Patriots. This is a great move for Brady, and do you think this is a move to kind of help the Patriots re-sign Wes Welker? Rob, what do you think about that, and what do you think about the deal?
Well, it's definitely a cap-friendly deal, And I think, you know, I think there's some misreports out there about, you know, Tom Brady actually taking a pay cut. And that's not necessarily the case. It's more of a restructured deal that makes it a little bit more cap-friendly and more signing bonus prorated. You know, anybody that understands the salary cap in the NFL, if you turn monies over to a signing bonus, you can prorate it over the duration of the contract, so it won't be all applied to this one season. So basically, Tom Brady is actually getting $57 million guaranteed with this new deal, but it's cap-friendly. A lot of it is prorated with signing bonuses so they can spread it out over the duration of the contract. But it does help the Patriots for this season and next season with the cap. Now, 3 years from now, you know, it's going to be a balloon on their cap, and it may hurt them a little bit. But right now, if you're an organization like the Patriots, if you have a Pro Bowl-type quarterback like Tom Brady, you're still in the win-now mode. So you worry about 3 years from now. You worry about that later. But right now, this is a cap-friendly deal. But don't get it twisted. Tom Brady is still getting his money. So I think it's a great, you know, deal for the organization and to help them to be still, you know, very competitive here this year and next year.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I don't think it was the case that we knew that he wasn't not going to get paid or he wasn't going to pay cut because, you know, obviously he's with Giselle and all that fun stuff too. But I think the way that he was able to get that deal, it made it very easy for the Patriots to kind of get restructured and make sure that he's going to get his money ultimately. But we'll see how it plays out as far as signing Wes Walker. What do you think about that? Was that another reason why he did that, you think?
Absolutely. There's a couple of guys on the organization here, you know, that they would like to keep. And, of course, Wes Walker is at the top of the list. And so, obviously, I think this is a move where they have an opportunity where you can keep one of the number one receiving targets on the roster. And I don't know if there's a few other pieces on that team that they would like to make room for as well. So definitely, I think the Patriots can even be a player for a couple of marquee free agents here this year and next year as well with this cap-friendly deal.
Gotcha. Moving right along. So, talking about
right, we're getting a pretty bad connection from you.
Yeah, we can switch if you want. If you want to switch to the call, we want to switch to as well. And I can hold down the floor here. I guess some of our people in the Bay Area are pretty excited about this. Well, I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, but word on the street is that Alex Smith has been agreed in principle to be traded. This is from the 49ers camp. And there's been a couple of teams that have been rumored to actually make this deal. I'm going to go on the limb and say one of the teams could possibly be the Chiefs. Possibly you have another opportunity of them hearing about the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I guess if you're the Chiefs, are you happy about this move? And I'm sure as we talk to Mr. Rob from the back of the line, which again, very curious to hear what the Chiefs will do because after the combine, there's been a lot of different movements, a lot of different players that have slid and players that have risen.
Should have ready for you by next week's show so we can discuss that. But I think this all but assures that the Chiefs will not be drafting a quarterback with that first-round pick, and it looks like Alex Smith will be their starter going into next season.
Dutch, a lot of things going on. All right, so I guess let's talk about some interesting. You still with me, Rob? Ooh, We're having some technical difficulties here, guys, so hold on. We will jump back on, make sure we are good to go. We'll get the show up and running real quick, guys. Stand by here.
Hello.
Rob, can you hear me?
Yes.
We had some technical difficulties. This is the first time we've had some technical difficulties with the show. So all of our listeners, this is one of those episodes you may want to throw in the can, but that's okay. We'll have fun as it is. Where did you actually, what was your last statement, Rob? As I know we were talking about Alex Smith and where he's going to end up. So where were you kind of wrapping up with those thoughts, sir?
Well, basically, as I was mentioning here, Alex Smith and I believe Alex Smith and the Chiefs and the 49ers have agreed to a deal that will send a fourth round pick to the Niners, and Alex Smith will go to Kansas City. And Kansas City will be will start Alex Smith at quarterback next year, which this will all but assure that Kansas City will not take a quarterback in the first round of the draft. They're probably going to look at an offensive lineman, Luke Jokel. And don't be surprised. Watch a rising star here, Eric Fisher, offensive tackle from Central Michigan. He's driving up draft boards here. This is another guy that may have an opportunity to move up into that number one slot. So look for an offensive tackle to be taken number one for the Chiefs here at this particular time, since they're more than likely going to be getting Alex Smith. Of course, the official trade announcement cannot take place until the new league year starts, which I believe is the 12th of March or the 15th. I don't have the exact date. I want to say it's the 15th is the new league year start date. So we won't be able to get an official announcement on that trade until that particular time. But based on our sources, it's almost a done deal. Fourth round pick from the Chiefs to the 49ers for Alex Smith.
Well, due to our technical difficulties, we only have about 5 minutes left in the show. I do want to talk about a lot of things that have been going on, too, as far as what's been going on with the combine. And due to the, a lot of different things that have been going on with different players that have performed well and have dropped, I guess you're going to come up with a brand new mock draft, which I'm very excited to hear about. And I guess how much stock do we actually place in the combine? Is it something that that we should actually put a lot of things in, Rob, or do you think this is something that it's just kind of like a kind of a side note? Because the reason why we ask is we're asking when will Tail be drafted. And this is very, very interesting because a couple of weeks ago, you listened to all of our shows. I know I was pretty much saying I thought, Tail should win the Heisman and yada, yada, yada. He was one of the best defensive players. And then, because of the Alabama game, totally just got, exposed. And then now you're figuring out everything that's going on with him with the hoax. And you see his 40 time, he runs like 4.8. And you're pretty much like, wow, he looks like he's fallen. So tell us about the combine things. Another guy we'll talk about is your guy, Tyrann Mathieu, Honey Badger. As well as Kevin Minter, I think he ran like a 4.8 too. So there's certain players that you're really taking a second look and are saying, well, this guy looks faster on film than he did in the combine, and how much stock can we actually place in this too? Because a lot of different players look like they're falling and rising and all that jazz.
Well, I think, obviously if the combine was not important, the NFL wouldn't have it. So I definitely think teams, pay attention to what takes place at the combine. But I think the combine is a small percentage of the evaluation process. I still think 80% of the evaluation process is film work. How does a player perform in games? And I think that's 80% of the process. And I think, you know, the combine is just a really, I think, really kind of measurements of a player. How long is this guy arms? Can a defensive lineman get deflections at the line of scrimmage? Has he got long enough arms? You know, how's this guy's speed? How's the cornerback speed? You know, does he have top-end speed to cover elite receivers? Those kind of things. But 80% of the evaluation process is what takes place during games and on film. And then we get into a couple of players that you just mentioned, Manti Te'o. I think Te'o is dropping a little bit. I think, you know, before this Hulk situation came out, it looked like he was a top-10 pick. But based on some of the sources that I talked to, yeah, I don't think he's going to get past the Cincinnati Bengals at 21. And from my understanding, the Bengals are very high on him and that they would take him at 21 if he's available. So I think that that's a spot. So in my opinion, it looks like he will still be a first-rounder. We still have about 2 more months before the draft, so a lot could change. But as of now, based on what I'm hearing, he will not get past the Cincinnati Bengals at 21. Then we talk about a guy like Kevin Minter. I don't really think a 4.8 40 for inside linebacker is going to hurt him that much, especially for teams that runs a 3-4 defense. I can still see him going to the Ravens at 32 or somewhere early in the second round. I still see him going exactly where he was projected to go. Now, Tyrann Mathieu is a very interesting situation here. I mean, here's a guy that I think had probably fallen all the way to like the fifth round. I think you could see a team take him as early as the third round now. I think he had a solid combine. He ran well. He did exceptionally well on the DB drills. And he looks like he's definitely stayed in shape even with the year off. The only really knock on him at the combine was that he can only do a bench press of 225 pounds 4 times. But I think everywhere else, you know, he tested extremely well. And I think in this case, the combine may have actually helped him because you have great film work of him, but you have to be worried about him having a year off and he proved that he at least stayed in shape and is still very well conditioned and running well.
Gotcha. Well, like I said, we had a lot of technical difficulties for this show. We got about 47 seconds left. We apologize for that, but next week we'll make sure that we're on point. We still have the OT portion. We're going to definitely dive into more talk about the combine, about the mock drafts and kind of how players have slid. Rob, I want to say thank you for your patience with the show. Set it up for next week real quick. We've got about 20 seconds or so. Say goodnight, all that fun stuff as we get ready to get to the OT portion.
Next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, we'll make sure we have the technical difficulties fixed. We do apologize once again. Tune in. We'll be talking more NFL draft, NBA, and college hoops. Good night, people.
Good night, people, for our people all the way on the West Coast to Hawaii to Germany, all the way across the world. We love you guys. We'll talk soon. And we are officially into the OT portion of the show. And keeping it moving, too, I definitely do want to talk about a lot of stuff, too, as far as with the top NBA teams and the college stuff, college b-ball as well, too. But if we have some time, we'll definitely jump into that, too. But and I guess because of the fact that there's been a lot of movement, and let's look at your mock draft. And like we talked about earlier, it looks like the Chiefs are going to make the move. They're going to definitely make the trade for Alex Smith, if you're hearing a lot of the scuttlebutt. Now, what do you think is going to happen with their number one pick? You said you're probably thinking they're going to go with the tackle. And then also, you hear about Star Lua-Tui, I hope I pronounced his name correctly, the defensive tackle from Utah. He had a heart ailment. So now it looks like he's going to probably drop. So same thing as far as DeMontre Moore. He only lifted, the bench press, 12 times. So I'm sure that's going to have some teams kind of scratching their heads. The same thing about Jarvis Jones, a little unknown condition. There's been a lot of players that are going to shake up the draft, and I'd love to hear your thoughts about this, Rob.
Yeah, getting back to the Chiefs, I can see Luke Jokel being a front runner for that number one spot. But also watch this guy, Eric Fisher, offensive tackle from Central Michigan. This is a guy that could climb all the way to the number one pick as well. Had an exceptional Senior Bowl. I think a lot of people After the regular season ended, you know, he probably was not graded as high just because of his level of competition there at Central Michigan. But he has pretty much dominated all the postseason workouts, whether it be the combine, whether it be the Senior Bowl. And he's really showing that he can go against elite competition. And this is a guy that watched the Chiefs here. They could take a chance. I think the Chiefs are looking at both of these guys extremely close. And I think as of right now, they have a similar grade on Eric Fisher and Luke Jokel. I think I'm going to still give the slight edge to Jokel, but watch Eric Fisher. He could be a sleeper here and could possibly be the number one pick in his draft. And then we get into Star Latulier, defensive tackle from Utah. This is a very serious concern for NFL teams with a heart condition. And this is going to be interesting here. And I think it's just because every team doctors are different. And so I think you're going to have some team doctors say, we just need to take them off our draft board altogether. And there are going to be some that say, hey, this guy's just too good to pass up. And I believe we can give him a passing grade on his health. And I'll give you a similar situation here with Drew Brees. After he was a free agent with San Diego Chargers, you look at one organization like the Miami Dolphins, their team doctor would not pass him. They didn't want to take a chance on him with a shoulder, whereas the Saints team doctor says, yes, he can rehab from this injury and recover from this injury. And so that's what's going to take place here with Star Latulier. I think as of right now, I still have a first-round grade on him. I can still see a team or two still looking at him in the top 10 if he clears medically. The guy is just too good of a talent. I think all NFL teams have to pretty much fail him medically for him to fall out of the first round. And as of right now, I don't see that just yet. DeMontre Moore, another guy that I still don't think he'll get past the 15th pick. If he does fall, he won't get past 15. Jarvis Jones, same thing. And once again, Jarvis Jones is a unique situation medically. And there's going to be some teams that are going to clear him. There's going to be some teams that don't. But there'll still be enough teams in the top 15 that'll be willing to take a chance on his talent. And so I still don't see him getting past the 15th pick at the latest. Jones and Moore may fall out of the top 10, but I still don't see him falling out of the top 15.
Gotcha. Very, very impressive analysis, Rob. Now, I guess the next question that we've got to ask is, what's going to happen to Mr. Geno Smith? Now, the word on the street is that, obviously Arizona still needs a quarterback. Buffalo still needs a quarterback. So is it a weird way in that you think Matt Barkley goes before Geno Smith, or what's going on with that? And this could be very interesting as it starts to play out.
Yeah, it could be. I still have Geno Smith as a slight higher grade than Barkley, and I think the quarterback position is going to start getting interesting at the 7, 8, and 9 picks. Arizona, mm-hmm. Buffalo, and the Jets. Don't rule out the New York Jets drafting a quarterback in this draft. And don't rule out the Jets drafting a quarterback as high as the first round in this draft either.
Yeah.
So I think those three picks, Arizona, Buffalo, and the Jets, 7, 8, 9, as of right now, there won't be a quarterback pick before the number 7 pick. So Arizona will be the first team where you'll watch to see if they take a quarterback at the number 7 pick, and then Buffalo, and then the Jets. And right now, I can definitely see Arizona going with a guy like Geno Smith, and I can definitely see Buffalo. Right now, in my latest mock draft, I have Buffalo taking Matt Barkley from USC as high as number 8. So stay tuned. As of right now, I don't have the Jets taking the QB in the first round, but don't be surprised if they do. And I definitely think they're doing their due diligence in considering taking a quarterback, if not in the first, at some point in this draft.
Wow. Like I said, this has been a very, very interesting offseason right now. Another person I was impressed with, too, because you look at the Jets, too, and I think the teams in front of them are gonna determine where they move, too, because I'm sure they were impressed with D. Milner, the quarterback from Alabama. So if you keep believing the world is straight, they're thinking about trading Darrell Revis, this would be a great, great replacement for him. But, you know, as we talk about, we have to figure out what's going to happen in front of them between, you know, Arizona and Buffalo, because I'm sure that's going to make their decision as far as what's going to happen. And they may make a decision for them, for the Jets. I still think that they need some another wide receiver to be a little bit more better. You know, obviously maybe it's quarterback play. There are a lot of problems with the Jets right now too, but we didn't get a chance to address their offseason needs. But, you know, I think it's going to be interesting as far as what those two teams do in front of the Jets.
Absolutely. And right now, my latest mock draft, I have Jets taking D. Milner. Of course, we're going to have a new mock draft soon. But right now, I definitely have D. Milner going to the Jets at number 9. Strong physical corner, ran extremely well at the combine, 4.37 40. So it definitely solidified his position as being a top 10 pick in this draft. And all indications are the Jets will probably be trading Darrelle Revis. And, you know, it's just going to come down to how many teams can give Darrelle Revis a passing grade on his physical. And so that's going to be interesting. Stay tuned to that. But right now it looks like all indications are they are shopping Darrelle Revis.
Gotcha. Last thing, any shocking players that you saw, any interesting players that you saw from the combine that you want to comment on, or anything you noticed in the combine that you were kind of impressed with, or anything you wanted to kind of mention as you were watching the combine?
Well, I'll tell you a guy who I think is definitely may have solidified his position as a top 5 or top 10 at the worst is not to single out an LSU player, but Barkevious Mingo. Did incredibly well at the combine. It looks like the perfect defensive end, outside linebacker, pass rusher. Ran a 4.53. He's got incredibly speed coming off the edge. And so I can't see this guy. At one point they were saying that this guy could fall into number 15. I just can't see him falling that far now. I can't see him falling out of the top 10. And wouldn't be surprised if he goes high as number 5 in this draft to the Detroit Lions. And so I think he's definitely a guy that has solidified himself near the top of the draft. Ziggy Ansah, another guy.
Yeah.
I think Ezekiel Ansah as well. But I think he's another guy that has probably solidified himself. Lance Johnson, offensive tackle from Oklahoma, is another guy here. Who in my last mock draft, I had him going 21 in Cincinnati. I can't see him lasting that long as well. He's another guy that I think has shined and kind of solidified himself here in the top 15 in this draft. So those are three guys I would just like to highlight that I think, along with D. Milner, make it 4, that I think has really solidified himself for a strong position in this draft.
It's been interesting to see a lot of the interior players here, like the offensive tackles, defensive linemen. You know, you're not really talking about a lot of skill position players right now. I mean, the first, the wide receiver that everyone was talking about, Cordell Patterson from Tennessee, you know, kind of had an okay combine. You know, Keenan Allen did some things, but there are some wide receivers that really turned heads. I had some fast 40 times, but right now there doesn't seem to be a really, really big skill position besides quarterback, obviously. That's going to be drafted that high. And possibly even running back. I mean, the first running back that we're talking about was Eddie Lacy. He didn't get a chance to do a lot of stuff right now at the combine. So it's very interesting to see how this draft is going to play out. But, you know, I know obviously you had Keenan Allen going number 13 to Tampa Bay. But now we don't even know when that position is going to, you know, happen. And obviously maybe later on down the line we got some tight ends that possibly get drafted. But it's going to be a very, very interesting turn of events, I think, sir.
Absolutely. It's definitely going to be very interesting. And obviously there's a lot that's going to take place here in these next 2 months. There's going to be a lot of moving and shaking. There's never a perfect mock draft. And so, you know, it's all in fun for the most part. And but there's never a perfect mock draft. And but I think there's going to be a lot of interesting movements. And I think free agency is definitely going to play a lot of play a huge part in which direction some of these teams go in this draft as well.
Gotcha. We got about 4 minutes. Let's talk real quick. Let's talk some basketball. I want to keep the mock draft up for our next show whenever we don't have as many technical difficulties, because you put a lot of good work into that too. So we'll come back to that too. But let's talk about some Olympic coaching with Coach K definitely stepping down as the Olympic coach. you posed who should be the next coach, and I'm going to throw a name in the ring. I have a tremendous amount of respect for this guy. It's not Mike D'Antoni, but it's actually Greg Popovich. I think he'd be a great coach for the Olympic team, and that's my vote.
Well, I think that's a great choice. He was actually one of my options as well. I came up with two names, and definitely Greg Popovich is one of them, and the other guy I would consider is Doc Rivers. Those would be two guys. I would stay as far away from Mike D'Antoni as possible. And, keep him off the Olympic team. But, yeah, those are the two guys that I would consider for the job with a slight edge going to Popovich. I think the guy is knows how to put guys in the right positions, and I think is an incredible coach. And he would be the front runner, but also a name I would consider is Doc Rivers. I'll even throw another wild card out here, Doug Collins. I think Doug Collins would be a great fit in that type of environment as well.
Let me ask you a question, too, real quick. As we talked about Doc Rivers, why do you think that there's a lot of problems with Rajon Rondo in Boston? You think I keep hearing about rumors that they're trying to trade him, and I don't understand why you try to trade such a dynamic player. I don't know if you want to comment on that real quick. That's just kind of Andre kind of going off script, if you will, but just kind of wanting to hear your thoughts about that.
Well, I think, you know, there's several reports about Rondo being a hothead. And I think a lot of times you can see it even by watching the Celtics game. And, you know, there's some indications are he doesn't like to listen to veteran players. That's part of the reason why he and Ray Allen didn't get along and part of the reason why Ray Allen wanted to leave the organization. And I think that's, you know, has been part of the problem, that a lot of veterans as well as the coach have had to get him on several times, and he's not necessarily – been the type of player that has been willing to listen. Dynamic player, absolutely. I think he's the best player on the Celtics team when healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he may not be the guy that you want if you're looking for great chemistry in your team.
Wow. Real quick, just the top five as we wrap up the show. We got about 2 minutes left. My top five for the NBA, the Spurs, the Heat, the Thunder, the Clippers, and the Pacers.
Wow. I tell you what, your top five is similar to mine, except number five. Instead of the Pacers, I have the Memphis Grizzlies at number five. So I have four teams in the West and only one in the East. But I do like the Pacers. They are rising, and I think they're probably the only team in the East that has a chance. Not saying they're going to beat the Heat, but they're the only team in the East that I think has a chance to beat the Heat. And I know in previous shows I've all but said that it's going to be a Heat and Thunder's finals. I'm going to say don't rule out the Spurs this year. I think the Spurs can stay healthy. And I think, you know, that I think Oklahoma City has taken a slight step down without James Harden. And I'm actually changing my finals prediction to the Spurs and the Heat as of right now.
Gotcha. We appreciate you guys listening to the show. As mentioned, we are here every Tuesday. Tell your friends, all that fun stuff. Hopefully we may have to burn this archive copy, Rob, but you know, for those that are tuning in, we appreciate that as always. And we're here. I guess you want to say your last moments as we wrap up the show once again?
Make sure you join us next Tuesday. We promise a much better show, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central. We still have a lot to talk about, NFL mock draft.